All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, presented by WTP Sports. This is episode 42. That's, of course, makes it the Jackie Robinson episode. I mean, they made a movie about him, right, with starring Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick.
That's my guy, dude. Chadwick. What a guy. Maybe not when you're hanging out. I mean, maybe, you know, some people might say, just call me Chad.
Shorten it up.
But he's like, no. I'm not in the whole brevity thing, as the dude would say.
Chad is more of a bro name, though. So, like, if you wore, like, cargo shorts and listened to Nickelback, maybe.
Good point. Good point. So, Chadwick, I guess. You're right. That's true. Okay.
Chadwick.
So, also, got to get Mo Vaughn in there for number 42 as well. So, the other person you hear talking is Marcus Estevez. He is from the Boxers podcast. And he is joining me tonight to talk some basketball. How's it going, Marcus?
I'm doing quite well. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, as you will, because my buddy Wesley and I do a movie review podcast called The Boxers, like you said. And but I also love basketball. Not a lot of people know that about me. Your listeners can't see it, but I am wearing a Celtics hoodie that I got for Christmas. It was unintentional.
Well, see, there you go. So you didn't even know. You were just wearing your Celtics swag. Didn't even realize you were coming on to talk. Well, you knew you were coming on, but it was unconsciously you just put the hoodie on.
That's right. Absolutely.
I am completing the Triforce tonight. I've now had members of all three podcasts from the Triforce on, which is pretty exciting. Last week, I had Rich Key from the Hashtag Dork podcast. About a month or so ago, I had Mac and Goo from the Mac and Goo podcast. And now I have Marcus from the Boxers podcast. So
now,
completed
now,
the Triforce. That's pretty cool.
To be fair, he really wanted Wesley on because Wesley is just a fountain of knowledge. And I was like, Wes can't do it. Do you want me to come on? He's like, I guess.
Ugh. Exactly what happened to you. Well, consolation prizes sometimes are the best, so you never know, right?
Yeah. And so to give you guys my credentials, I did play sports in high school, and I tore my Achilles playing basketball in Blackstone against some high schoolers last year. So I am really knowledgeable about sports.
Super, super knowledgeable. Very athletic as well.
Yeah. So, not 50 pounds overweight and a dad. Yes.
I mean, once you hit that dad level, it's challenging. So, okay. Well, we won't hold the weight against you because I'm probably a little bit more than 50 pounds overweight. So it's okay. You'll be all right.
Maybe we could do some, we could set up like an amateur sumo thing. That could be cool.
Bashing
bellies together. Why not?
I guess fully clothed. I need to be fully clothed for this to happen.
All right, fine.
I mean, I like you, but I don't know if I like you that much.
That's fair. Let's see how the podcast goes.
Right.
Give me something to work towards.
So we are talking basketball tonight. We also have the 3-minute drill and this week in sports history as well. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so I want to start with really kind of, I think, the craziest story in basketball right now, which is Kawhi Leonard has been cleared to play by the doctors in San Antonio and is like, no, I'm cool. I'm sitting out. And I think Pop yesterday came out and said that he'd be surprised if he returns this season. Not great news for the Spurs, that's for sure.
No. And honestly, so I was reading a Ringer article today and first of all, I've heard somewhere that Kawhi is looking for a second opinion, which I think is really interesting because maybe he has been cleared to play, but he doesn't feel right. You know what I mean?
I read somewhere that he spent like the 10 days before the All-Star break in New York trying to get a second, which I don't know what the hell he's going to spend 10 days in New York trying to get a second opinion for. But supposedly he spent like 10 days in New York before the All-Star break with some team officials trying to get a second opinion. Again,
yeah,
it seems like a strange story. Like, what, you can't just make an appointment, get a second opinion? I don't know.
Well, it just sounds so odd to me for there to be dysfunctionalism in Popovich's locker room, because he's the Belichick of the NBA, and so for there to be kind of this bad blood or perceived bad blood with one of his star players, like literally a top five player in the NBA, like I don't know what's going on, but it's weird, man. Like, it's really weird. And I guess he 2019, I was reading that he could walk if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, bring him to the Celtics.
I certainly wouldn't turn him down, that's for sure. I mean, people were talking about him being the MVP this year, and he's played 9 games this year, which is staggering, you know, to think about that. And someone compared it to David Robinson, which is interesting, because Robinson had been so good up until that point and then didn't play that year. And, of course, they sucked, and they got Tim Duncan the next year, which obviously isn't going to happen to the Spurs this year. But it was like, man, like, it's a weird, weird situation, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if any of it has to do with LaMarcus Aldridge, because I feel like he has the tendency of kind of being a diva, and he seemed really unhappy when he first got there, and like with the amount of touches he was getting. And then Pops recently talked about how he finally unlocked LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, he figured out how to properly use him. And I don't know if that like coincides with Kawhi sitting and not getting as much time in the limelight. It's hard to read Kawhi, because he's so stoic and quiet and like doesn't show any emotion. So like the fact that he's even remotely dissatisfied is probably the most emotion he's shown in like 20 years.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, he plays the game without any emotion on his face. It's just bizarre. Right. It's almost like, how the hell does he do that? But
he's like a Vulcan.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. It's kind of that's a Star Trek character, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, Pat, you almost said Star Wars. I could hear you, and I was going to be like, ah.
I know. I caught myself. I did catch myself.
You did. I'm proud of you.
So, and by the way, it's not a character. It's like a race of people. But you know, I mean, whatever. Same thing.
Right. Yeah.
But I have to say, well, you know, one of the interesting things about Leonard and in one of the articles I read is that the question was whether he's willing to play through discomfort for the rest of the year or not. And I thought that line was interesting to me, because it's like, well, he's been cleared to play, which means I guess he's not going to hurt it anymore, but it still hurts when he does things. So it's like, well, I guess he's like medically okay to play, but he's still in pain when he runs up and down the floor. So it's like, if he's still in pain, then I guess that to me makes it less of a story for me, because it's about a pain management thing. And he feels like maybe, yeah, they might say everything's okay, but why the hell am I still in pain? And is something going to, you know, tear in my quad or something like that if I don't take care of it? And so I think if you look at it from that angle, maybe it's a little bit less surprising, but even still, it's still weird.
I mean, let's look at the Isaiah Thomas stuff, right? Because he's putting out all these ridiculous videos about, like, I'm coming back and, like, not done and I'm going to overcome and all this, because he loves the underdog narrative more than anybody. Right. But he probably needed to have surgery. And back during the playoff series, I'm pretty sure he's talked about that he was like mishandled, like his injury was mishandled, which is obnoxious, because nothing was going to keep him off the court playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you use kind of that IT stuff as the barometer, IT stuff was mishandled. He's kind of lost a little bit of his first step, which is IT's whole thing.
Right.
And so who knows? Maybe Kawhi and Kawhi's people are kind of looking at that and being like, you know, maybe we do need to be more cautious, especially since we're not next year, but the year after is contract stuff. So who knows, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's true. And especially in that conference, with Houston, the way they're playing right now, and with Golden State, obviously, and even Oklahoma City, which I think, to me, I think Oklahoma City won't last, certainly in the playoffs. But even still, I think that, you can look at that and say, you know, there's a good chance that we don't make the finals anyways, even if Kawhi's playing. And so maybe he looks at that and says, all right, like, we don't have a legitimate shot at a championship anyways. And, you know, like you said, why risk my future to what, get bounced in the second round? Right. You know, it's like, what the hell difference does it make, you know?
Yeah.
But so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, but I just think it's wild. And like you said, the big story to me is the Popovich thing, right? Like, Popovich is the Belichick of the NBA, and now he has this stuff going on with, like, his best player, and you're just kind of like, what? Like, it's similar to, you know, the Brady story that came out with Seth Wickersham, who completely made most of it up and lied about it and whatnot, and it seems like it's a fake story. But some of that stuff is true a little bit, but it's like, how is nobody talking about the fact that, like, Kawhi isn't upset at what's going on with the Spurs? I mean, clearly he's not happy with the medical advice he's been given because he's trying to get a second opinion. So it's like, you know, maybe there's something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know, but man, it's surprising.
Isn't it funny though, that like this little bit of dysfunctionalism that's kind of eking out of the Spurs locker room is kind of timed with a little bit of dysfunctionalism happening with the Patriots, and they're both very similar, like, similarly run organizations, and like, just from the bottom to the, you know, or from the top to the bottom, they're such similar organizations, and they're so professional, and so to kind of have these little green gases coming out of the locker room, it's just it kind of makes you think, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to imagine the stuff going on in every locker room, especially where these guys get paid so much money, and, you know, and they have their own lives, and they're thinking about, not only, especially where the NBA is now, they're thinking about their brand as more than even just their player.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, coming from that locker room, it's definitely surprising. So,
yeah,
we'll see. So anyways, let's get to the East, because the East is really what we're concerned about for right now, at least. Like the I mean, Celtics, geez, they lost three games in a row going into the All-Star break. They needed the break, like, big time. Needed the break.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so that has, I agree with that to some extent, but they had a pretty, when they went and played in London, like, they went dark for a while, you know? And so, I don't know. I just, to me, one of the big things is Greg Monroe didn't know the offense. He just kind of gets thrown in there, and we lose Marcus Smart. So we have Greg Monroe kind of plodding along out there trying to keep up.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Smart is gone. And while I'm not a huge Marcus Smart guy, it's undeniable what he can do on the defensive end. You know, I wish he would go to sleep and not do anything on the offensive end, but that's a different conversation.
Well, and that, I think you're totally right. And I do think that some people have blown the Smart thing a little bit out of proportion. Like, I get he's a good defensive player, but, you know, they just gave up what their two highest point totals of the year in back-to-back games, where it was like, it was the highest and then they broke it with the next highest. And to me, defense is about hustle and effort. It's not necessarily anything else. It's just about how much effort are you going to put into your defense, and, you know, how much energy, how, you know. And so to me, it was just like, they're just lacking that effort and energy on the defensive end. And I know that Smart brings some of that. I get that. But, like, it's more than just Marcus Smart. To me, it was a bigger issue. And so maybe it's Tatum hit that rookie wall and he needed a break. Or, you know, Jaylen Brown, you know, hit a little bit of a wall and needed a break. Or, you know, who knows what it was. But they need to get back to doing what they've been doing, which is playing great defense. And then, you know, when you play good defense, it leads to offense, especially where they're so explosive on the break. You know, with the young guys they have, it's really important that they really get back to that defense, you know?
I guess I'm kind of surprised with Brad Stevens. And I don't feel like, you know, because a lot has been made of, you know, hitting the wall and being tired. And while I don't discount those things, I mean, Brad Stevens has kind of let his team, and historically he kind of like takes the back seat and lets his players figure it out. And that's really what makes him a good coach, because he instills the idea of ownership within his players. You know, they help build what he's actually building. But I also think that there's kind of a component where I feel like Brad was just kind of lacking in this whole process. I don't necessarily know exactly. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but Brad, if we're making a blame pie, a delicious, delicious blame pie, Brad has to have a piece of it, because I mean, he's pulling the strings, you know? But going back to Marcus Smart real quick, I have to say, go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off, but if it's a blame pie, I would say it's probably closer to like the thinner blame pie as opposed to the delicious blame pie. That's just my two cents of that. But.
Yes, absolutely. And going back to Marcus Smart real quick, which is funny because we talked a little bit before we started rolling about calling in the WEEI, and I called in and I was talking about Marcus Smart. And I was on hold for like 45 minutes. And then I said, Marcus, every time Marcus Smart shoots, he makes my butthole pucker. And then, and then Holly immediately dropped my call. And well, he put me on hold. And Rich, in Rich's defense, did go, hey, maybe we could keep going. And like, he totally, but so there is an intangible factor. Absolutely. Because there's something to be said for Marcus Smart, like full sprint, diving to a ball, and then standing up, pounding his chest and screaming, let's go, to his teammates. Like, that's really hard to quantify, but because he is leadership in action. Like, he is going to make those hard plays and sacrifice himself for the team, and the team sees that, and that's important to them. But he sucks at shooting. I don't want to talk too positively about him without reminding everybody that he sucks at shooting.
Somebody said to me, he's really important, which I think he is a very important player. Someone said, yeah, you know, if we can get him for like 4 and 80, that'd be, I'm like, what? I'm like, what? What did you just say? 4 and 80. I'm like, okay, he's important, but the guy can't shoot a freaking basketball. And we're going to give him $20 million a year. Well, you know, 20 million. I'm like, no, shut up. Like, go away. You can't. No. That's enough. 4 and 80 is lunacy.
Like, do they mean like Hershey Kisses? Like 80 Hershey Kisses?
I'll take him back for like, I'd say his number to me is around like 12. If I could, we can get him for about, you know, I wouldn't say, I think even 5 is too much, but say like 4 and 48, between 44 and 48 to me, I'd be okay with. Anything more than that, see you later. Have a nice life. Like that, you know, great. The intangibles are great, but like, come on, what are we doing? Like, we can't play defense without Marcus Smart. That's crazy.
Right. No, I agree with that. And a part of me, when they bought out Avery Bradley recently, there was like a little whisper of like, could we get Bradley back? And like, part of me was like, that sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you, because he can at least hit like a perimeter jump shot.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's the thing. He plays the defense and he can actually shoot a little bit, you know, as opposed to. And Smart, I mean, it has had a few games where he'll come in and shoot. But it's like, but then the other, you know, the other 82 games, the other 80 games, you're like, he just shoots like he can hit them all and he doesn't.
Oh, my gosh. And the worst thing for Marcus Smart is for him to make 1 3-pointer. Because once he makes one, he's all juiced up to shoot 9 more. And you're like, for the love of God.
Just a heat check. Just a heat check. That's all.
Oh,
heat check.
It's brutal. But so at the end of the Rockets game, where the Celtics won the game, and Marcus Smart just got into Harden's head. Like, he like climbed into his beard and like made him puke down the front of himself. Like, that was amazing. Like, that's why he's on that team.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, I've never seen a player implode like Harden did in that situation. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that goes to speak about Harden, but 100%, I don't think it happens with any other player on the Celtics except for Marcus Smart in that situation. So, you know, certainly something to say about him. So, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see if they, you know, can figure it out. We're recording on Thursday night. So they're playing in Detroit tomorrow night, and they have three out of four game. They have three games in four nights, so it's a pretty quick turnaround. I think they're playing. I think it's Detroit Friday. I think the Knicks on Saturday, and then I think it's the Hornets. I'm not sure who they're playing, but they're playing on Monday. So it's like, you know, three games in four nights. It's gonna be quick, and you know, so
that's true. But those are all winnable games. For
for sure,
especially with a Kristaps list.
Right.
You know,
they should
destroy them. And if they hang around, but there is going to be a little bit of rustiness because Marcus Smart is reintegrating. We have Jason Tatum, who's been playing a ton of games, and now he just took time off, and now he's coming back. So I expect there to be some rust. I would rather the rust be against the Knicks and not, or against the Pistons rather than like the Hornets.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be interesting. This last stretch is going to be really fascinating. And I think Brad is really going to have to kind of take control of the team. And not that he hasn't done that already, but, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And especially getting Greg Monroe integrated into what they're doing. I think that having Greg Monroe know what he's doing is going to really dictate to me how far they're going to get into the playoffs. Cause everyone else to me is going to gel, like, and they've already gelled, and we know at their best what they can do. But Greg Monroe is kind of this X factor that we don't really know what he brings to the table yet, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, I think too, like, especially against a team like Detroit, who they play tomorrow night, Andre Drummond goes basically 20-20 every time they play him. He just dominates. And so, you know, you wonder if you throw a guy like Greg Monroe at him, that maybe he has a little bit more success than, you know, Aaron Baines has had or some of the other guys have had in the past, just because of the size of him and how he plays.
Wait.
You know, I don't know whether that will happen, but who knows, you know?
The size of what? Were you talking about Aaron Baines?
I'm talking about Greg Monroe. Now, Monroe is not shorter than Aaron Baines, but I mean, he's just like wide.
Pat, did you not hear what Tommy Heinsohn said about Baines?
Did you hear
that?
I know. I must have missed it.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to send it to you. He said he saw Baines in the shower. He said this.
Oh, I did hear that.
And he said, he's as big as all of Australia. You're like, what? What?
Oh, yeah. That's a little too much information there, Tommy.
It's a lot of too much.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah.
I'm jealous. Wow. I'm jealous, okay. Though. I wish Tommy would say that about me. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It's very true. What's one of my favorite lines by John Gruden of all time on Monday Night Football? He was talking about Vernon Davis, and he's like, "By the way, here comes my horrendous John Gruden impression.
Oh,
I shouldn't even try, but
you should."
He's like, I tell you what, guy. If I had a body like that, I'd be at the beach every day. I was like, what a line, dude. But I'm like, seriously? That's where you went with that? Like, he just, anyways. But
I liked it. It was like if John Gruden was in the mafia in Boston. Like,
well,
that's what
it.
That was.
I can't, you know. Yeah.
It was good. No, it was great, no, right? Don't apologize. It was good.
Well, I wasn't apologizing. I am not Thanks. Confident about any of my skills for that, but I will not apologize.
Good.
So as far as the rest of the East is concerned, I really think it's a four-team race. I think it's, you know, the Celtics, the Cavs, the Wizards, and the Raptors. I think the Raptors right now are the team that nobody is talking about. They're 41-16. They're two games up on the Celtics. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games before the All-Star break. Like, they are on a roll right
now.
Yeah,
they're on a 7-game win streak right now.
Yeah, and nobody is talking about them at all. And so maybe once we get close to the playoffs, they will. But the story at the beginning of the year was the Celtics because they were playing so well. Then the story was the Cavs because they were falling apart. Then the story was the Cavs again because they traded everybody and got a brand new team. And it's like, in that mix has been Toronto's been playing well all year long. They have two superstar players. Like, they can make a legit run at the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I think that Toronto is really that team that kind of everyone's sleeping on. Again, I mean, the Cavs, you know, I don't know. Well, go ahead. Talk about Toronto.
I mean,
we'll get to the
okay,
Cavs.
So when is the last time that Toronto went into the playoffs healthy? Because, I mean, I feel like we've seen very little of a full strength DeMar DeRozan and a full strength Kyle Lowry on the floor at the same time for an extended period of time.
Right.
That, and I don't, I mean, if you look at that roster, I don't feel like they have a ton of playoff experience. And, yeah, and if nothing else, they've kind of folded in the playoffs. And I think they've had some bad draws though, because they started playing the Cavs last year, or what, maybe that was two seasons ago. So,
no, I mean, right. I think, I think it was last year, because I think the Celtics lost to them 2 years ago.
Right. They have some good pieces. And I mean, Serge Ibaka's been around, right? I mean, he's a good power forward. He's been around some good teams. He knows how to be a leader. And Dwayne Casey has obviously been doing a good job in the regular season for a while now. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we're sleeping on them, but I've never really found them to be closers. You know what I mean? I've never seen the Raptors close something. So I guess show me that you can do it, because I don't particularly believe in them. Granted, they're on a really nice run, and
right,
in that league, it's all about when you get hot. And if Toronto's getting hot right now, like, it could be a bad news situation for the Celtics. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to take into consideration is that, you know, the All-Star break isn't the halfway point of the year. Like, they have like 25, 30 games left. So, like,
right,
you know, so if they're gelling now, it's not like, well, they have the entire second half of the season. It's really like the last 25, 30 games, and then the playoffs start. So if this is really when they're gelling, like, it could be an issue, certainly moving forward. I mean, if it's me personally, if I'm looking at it, you know, for me, from a Celtics perspective, I'd rather play Washington in the semifinals to then get to the finals. That's just me personally.
Sure.
You know, I just think that it's a better matchup for the Celtics. They beat them last year. I think they could beat them again this year.
Yeah, I think they're in their heads to some extent. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially like Kelly Oubre, like, just flipping out. And who did he push? Was it big dumb white guy?
Yeah, I think it was Olynyk, wasn't it?
The clinic, Kelly, the clinic, Olynyk.
Kelly, the clinic, Olynyk. Hey, last week, episode 41, it was a Kelly Olynyk episode.
Oh,
but see, there you go. So,
got to give him credit.
It's true. It's true.
Now, okay, what do you, Pat? What do you think about the little bit we've seen from the Cavs, like the new look Cavs?
Well, that's the thing for me is that the pieces that they got are irrelevant. Those guys they're fine, but none of those guys are going to win them a series. The only thing that matters is LeBron happy, and is he going to play 100%? Because he wasn't when he had IT and Crowder and all them. He wasn't happy, so he wasn't playing 100%. But if LeBron is happy and playing 100%, he can win the East by himself. And so that's the only question to me. Did they get better after the trades? Like, on paper, like, maybe like a little tiny bit better, maybe, but I think they're pretty much the same as they were. I mean, Rodney Hood's a decent player, but they didn't really get any other superstars, I didn't think, on paper. But it's just about LeBron. If LeBron is engaged and going 100%, he can win the East by himself. And so that's the only concern for me when I look at the Cavs, is what's LeBron gonna do?
Right. Well, I don't sleep on the Jordan Clarkson pickup, because I feel like he's kind of new and hasn't had a chance to really sink his teeth into the league yet. But he's one of those ice in his veins kind of guys. Like, he's not going to shy away from a big moment. And so I don't know. We need to see a bigger sample size. But like you said, LeBron is having fun. And as dumb as that sounds, if LeBron is enjoying himself, look out.
Yeah.
Because, like, you see all those GIFs on Twitter of him, like, freaking out and being so happy about, like, the three balls and all this stuff against the Celtics. But he hasn't been that excited in a while. Yeah. So, I mean, he was so excited that I almost was like, is he going to stay? Because I didn't think he was going to. At all. Actually, I'll give you my thought on this. If LeBron wants to win and have a great coach and have a great organization. We've already talked about them today. I think he should go to the Spurs. Because LeBron has, think about it, LeBron has never had a good coach. And I know that's a strong statement, but like, he's never had a coach to like be over top of him. He's always had a coach who's like, I'll step out of the way, Mr. LeBron, so you can coach my team for me, and I'll call timeouts once in a while. Like right. He got David Blatt out of there because David Blatt wasn't that guy. And so, you know, I would love to see LeBron go to the Spurs. I don't think he's going to, because that wouldn't be about LeBron. That would be about a team. LeBron's going to make decisions based on what's best for LeBron and his brand, and his brand of, honestly, some poison that he brings along with him, which is just his pride and his ego. Like, he wants to be the one to lift up the little guy and to pull a team out of the ashes. Like, LeBron coming back to Cleveland and being the savior of Cleveland and winning them a title, like, that was the best thing that could ever have happened to LeBron's ego. Like, totally. But the one thing is, when he won, he made the dumbest voice, because he knew that he was getting, like, he was going to, like, this was going to be his, like, anything is possible. And he goes, Cleveland, this is for you. And it was awful. You sounded dumb.
Oh, God.
And Kyrie hit the biggest shot, and then you sounded like a Muppet. Like, you ruined it.
God. I just, you know, the funny thing about LeBron is that, and you know, this whole, the whole thing that went on with the Fox News idiot telling him to shut up and dribble and all this other crap that, you know, I feel like there's so many reasons to like LeBron, because he's like good in the community and he plays the game the right way. And he's arguably the greatest player in the history of the NBA.
I thought you were going to say that he's good between the sheets. And I was going to be like, Pat,
it might be.
You won't even go belly to belly skin chest bump with me. And you're thinking about Bron between the sheets. This is weird.
I mean, it's a little strange, but you know, I mean, as Tommy Heidsen said, I mean, I wouldn't mind being in Tommy Heidsen's shoes in that situation, but anyways, let's get back on track here. But I just feel like you should like the guy. Like, everyone should like the guy, but he's just so unlikable. Like, he just, everything is set up for him. And it just feels like you said, like, his ego is just so freaking big. And you're like, just stop it. Like, can't you just play? Like, just play basketball. It doesn't have to be about your brand or, you know, I'm the king. And it's like, dude, just stop it for just a minute. You know, be real. And it seems like his life is like faked, you know, and people right. are just like sick of him. And I don't blame them, but it's crazy. Like I said, I mean, it's like we should love the guy. He should be the most right. loved guy ever. And it's just like, he's just so unlikable that you just can't, you know?
Well, everything is I, me. Yeah, anytime a microphone is in his face, he's talking about I, me. And then if something goes wrong, he throws the guys under the bus, you know? Do you think he'll be a Laker?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I think. I mean, just from a branding situation.
Yeah,
right?
That's what's best for LeBron as an entity. Is
it just makes the most
going
sense,
LA.
You know? Now, the only problem is that Lonzo's there, and so you got Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball, and then you got LeBron, and so will LeBron not want to go to LA because Lonzo's there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's something that I look at it and say, well, LeVar is like, I'm creating my own brand because Nike doesn't want me, or Nike isn't willing to pay. And now, you know, LeBron comes in with his brand, and it's like, so that's the only question that I have is like, if he doesn't go to LA, I think one of the biggest reasons is because they drafted Lonzo Ball, which, imagine that for a second. Like, imagine they told you, listen, you can draft Lonzo Ball, but then LeBron won't come to you next year. It's like,
I mean, go down as
one of the worst decisions of all time.
If LeBron goes to the Warriors, I will break my TV and I will never watch basketball again. I think that there is an, I don't know their cap space situation, but I think there's an outside chance, very outside, that he goes to Houston. Because I think he has a pretty good relationship with Chris Paul. But again, I don't know the cap situation, and that might be completely, you know, out of left field.
The Rockets are interesting because they have the who the hell else do they have that's getting $20 million a year? They have some. Is it Chandler Parsons? Is he still there? That he's getting like $20 million a year from them.
I don't know.
I feel like there was someone else, someone besides Harden and Paul, that's getting a decent amount of money in Houston. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I thought that'd be the case. But you know, I think to me, forget about the fact that, you know, the Warriors would go 82-0 if LeBron was on that team. I feel like from what we just talked about, that LeBron would never do it. Because LeBron walks in and it's not his team anymore. It's Steph Curry's team or it's Kevin Durant's team. But it's not LeBron's team. Like, you know, and so like to me, that would be the most shocking thing ever, because it's like LeBron went where? Like, what are you talking? Like, he's not the best player. He's going to actually have to take a back seat in some games to these other guys. And it's like that's not going to work at all. You know, so it's the ironic thing is that if he went to Oklahoma City to Golden State, is that it may not even work because you just can't fit all that ego into the room. Whereas Kevin Durant said, look, I'll just take I'm still a great player, but I'm going to take a little bit of a backseat to Steph. Like, it doesn't have to be my team. It could be Steph's team.
Yeah. Whereas, I hated that he did that. I thought it was remarkable that the commissioner blocked Chris Paul, but he didn't block this. Like, that didn't make any sense to me.
No. But the Paul one was a trade, wasn't it?
Good point.
Chris Paul one was a trade. So it's like, you can't block a free agent.
Okay.
Guess,
so here's my hot take about Oklahoma City. I think that Russell Westbrook will never win an NBA championship. And the reason I say that is because if Russell's the best player on your team, you're not going to win. And if Russell is the second best player on your team, he will not pass to the best player in the moments that matter.
Well, like, well, I mean, he always did that with Kevin Durant, right? Didn't he always pass to him in the biggest moment?
I mean, the fact that they had Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on the same team and couldn't make it work, to me, is an indictment, not just on the coach, but it's on Russell Westbrook, because Westbrook was the point guard. I know all three of those guys are ball dominant guys, but I just feel like Westbrook has a little bit of IT in him where he plays very, very emotionally. And when you play that emotionally, when you run up against a wall and you're not getting the calls you want in the playoffs, you're going to start getting very frustrated. And when you get frustrated, you force bad shots and you make poor decisions. And that's the problem with Russell Westbrook. And I think he's one of those guys who needs a Popovich, who needs a coach who's going to let him be himself, but also be like, hey, this is how you fit into what we do. It's not all about what you do and your weird moth-eaten shirts and your pants that make everybody see everything you have going on down there. You know, like,
if you got it, flaunt it, right? I guess. I mean,
yeah. And so that's my hot take. I unless he loses a step, realizes in the next like 5-6 years, he loses his step a little bit, realizes I need to be more of a pass first point guard and facilitate for some other players if they have good players, then I think he could win. But with his current mentality, I just don't see him even getting back to the finals.
I mean, it's certainly noteworthy, I think. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you look at it and just say, you know, he is not that player, like you said, that will pass the ball, that will give up the shot. He wants it to be all about himself as well. And he's not even as good as LeBron, and he wants it to be all about him. And so, you know, I agree 100% where you won't win if he's your best player. And, you know, I wonder if he's starting to, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if he will ever figure it out, because it almost like you look at some of these guys and you say, will you ever figure this out? Like, will he figure that out before he's lost a step? Like, because if he does, he can opt out after this year, and he could go to someone like the Spurs.
Right.
And I mean, now you got him, Kawhi, and LaMarcus Aldridge playing together. Now you can compete in the West, you know? And so, right. you know, and so to me, it's very interesting for me. And by the way, when I say compete in the West, I think the big thing about LeBron, and one of the things that people started talking about when people started talking about LeBron going to the Lakers was that he wouldn't go there because the West would be too stacked and he wouldn't be able to get out of the West because he had to play the best team to get out of the West.
Right.
Well, they've already started talking about it, and the NBA is going to do it. If LeBron goes to the West, it may not happen. Say LeBron goes to the West this summer.
Are they going to change the playoff format?
100% they're going to. Now, I don't know if it'll happen next year, but it will definitely happen within the next few years where they will just go to the 16 best teams and do it from there. Because realistically now, you're going to have the Warriors with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant play the Lakers with LeBron and Paul George, let's say, in the Western Conference Finals, and then the winner of that's going to play the Celtics in the finals. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why, you know, why waste the two best teams? Because, by the way, those are the two best teams,
right?
Right. If maybe not the Lakers, but certainly, you know, Golden State's the best team. And so it's like, why waste them against, you know, LeBron in the Western Conference Finals if they could play the Celtics instead? And, you right. know, then beat the Celtics and they move on, you know, play the Cavs. So, or the whoever, the Laker, you know. So it's like, to me, that's where they're going. And I think that opens up all of those superstar guys, even yeah. Westbrook. Whereas if Westbrook ever decides to leave Oklahoma City, well, he can go to Houston and still feel like he can make it, because if it's a 16-team league,
right,
you know, then I can go wherever I want. Doesn't matter what's the East or not.
Right.
Do I yeah. like that? No, I don't love it. But
no, I think it's interesting. I would rather... I like it, though. I like the balance. I like that idea, because I would rather a more balanced and more exciting NBA finals and playoffs, you know, because so much of it is, it's like dog food in the East. Watching, like, if I have to watch four games of the Cavaliers just taking a big steamy poop all over the Pacers, like, That's not fun. It's not even entertaining. I just feel bad. It's like watching somebody abuse their dog. Yeah. Like, I'm like,
Yeah, no, well, that's true. It's funny because they've talked about it in the NFL. And I think in the NFL, it doesn't work, because there are those upsets that happen where it's like, you know, a number six seed comes in and wins the Super Bowl, or, you know, wins two or three straight, you know, road games, or the road team comes in and beats it. Because it's one game, you know,
right.
One game, anything can happen. In a seven-game series, it's not going to happen. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You might steal a game, but the best team is going to win, which right. makes competitive seven-game series really awesome to watch.
Yes.
It's really awesome right. to watch. But when it's not, and it's lopsided, it's friggin' brutal.
That's awful. So, yeah, so I think that's where they're headed, you know, and so that right. does open the door for LeBron to go wherever he wants. And Westbrook, if he ever does figure it out and leaves Oklahoma City, to go wherever he wants. And, right. you know, whoever else, those big stars, because that's what more than any other league, it's about the big name stars, right? And so right. you want to see those big name stars in those big high leverage situations. And to do that, you get rid of the conferences, you make it the best 16 teams, and you just say, go kill each other, you know?
Although what I think is interesting is that Boston is slowly becoming a destination, and part of it is because Brad is really respected around the league. And I think that's a little bit of a different – because a lot of times it would be that players were being you know, polarized to a certain place because of the idea of playing with each other. But this is kind of a new concept. Maybe it's because Brad's more new in town, but that there are players that want to play for Brad because they like what he's doing. They believe in what he's doing, and they smell a winning culture. Like a winning culture is enormous. It is enormous. And that's why the Cleveland Browns are poison. Because it is a losing culture, and once you lose enough and you tank enough, that's what's surprising about the 76ers really starting to have a bit of a resurgence, because they friggin' tanked for like 3-4 years in a row. Yeah. And like, as a fan, oh my gosh, that's awful. And so that's the other really remarkable thing about what Brad has done is that, because I'm a pretty new Boston Celtics fan. I moved here from Los Angeles, and so I had always been a fan of sports, basketball and football primarily. And so I was like, well, I'm up here. I married into these like diehard Pat fan. My wife was a Celtics dancer.
Humble brag.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, Cedric Maxwell, she was one of Cedric Maxwell's favorite dancers because everyone else would do these like sexy dances on the Jumbotron, and she would do this peanut butter jelly time dance. And he just loved it. Like, she walked by and Cedric Maxwell goes, "It's her."
God.
But like my mother-in-law was a Pats cheerleader like back in the day. And so like I married into this family that like loves Boston sports. So I was like, okay, I've never really had a team of my own, so I'll just adopt these teams. And so to be able to come in literally as a Celtics fan, like a 4-year-old Celtics fan, and to be able to say I was watching them when their best player was Jeff Green, like, I know that I haven't been a Celtics fan that long, but I haven't been around for a championship yet. So like I'm building with them, but it's been remarkable that Brad has been able to turn around this franchise and create a winning culture in a very, very short amount of time.
Well, it's very turned around really fast. And I think the Sixers thing is interesting because the Sixers are always like, it was never any pretense of what they were doing. Like, it was always very clear what they were doing. Yeah. Trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. So it was never like, yeah, we're going to try this year. It's like, no, we're just going to suck this year because we know that on the horizon, we're going to be good. So just trust the fact that we'll get there eventually. And I think actually what's helped them is that some of their really good players have been injured and haven't been in that culture of losing over and over and over again because they've been on the bench, not playing. And so I think, you know, now they're finally all together, they're playing and they're winning. And so I think that that's certainly, you know, helped them in that situation. And Stevens here, I mean, it's undeniable. Like, Isaiah Thomas, you know, should give Brad Stevens 20% of the money he gets because every single cent that he's going to make is because of Brad Stevens.
Well, let's be honest. Isaiah Thomas is going to make about 85 to 90 Hershey Kisses at this point.
That's very true.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a callback.
See, look at that. See, that's welcome. Yep, nice work. Well done.
Listen to the boxers.
So what I think is interesting about IT is that now IT is on the Lakers, and he's pissed at the Celtics still, conceivably, right? Still pissed at the organization. He has an actual opportunity to screw the Celtics over by playing well enough and leading the Lakers out of that 2-6 range so the Celtics don't get their pick this year and have to rely on the Kings pick next year. So I think that that's really kind of an interesting kind of twist where it's like, you know, he wanted to play well for the Cavs and beat the Celtics in the playoffs, but now he gets to play well for the Lakers and maybe make the Celtics lose out on a draft pick because they got out of that 2-6 range, you know? So
honestly think, to some extent, the Celtics have broken his brain because I think that he's somebody who's had like trust issues, and he's been that like, I'm the underdog. He thinks of himself as Tom Brady. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. It's just that he doesn't have the physical giftings to be Russell Westbrook. He doesn't have that. He doesn't even have the physical giftings to really be Allen Iverson. Like, and so, like, I it sounds awful, but I feel like they broke his brain because it was the first time that he had been in a place where he felt like at home and like we trusted him and we wanted him to shoot. We wanted Isaiah to be Isaiah. And now he's like basically on a walkabout. He's trying to find himself because we broke his brain. Like, he was like, they left me and then they destroyed me and they kicked me to the curb. So what am I going to do now?
It's true. You know? I mean, it's crazy that he doesn't, you know, when you look at those guys, how does he not see it? I mean, he chased Avery Bradley out of town to bring in Gordon Hayward. So it's like, you know, it's a business. Like, you know, I get it. He's happy here and he wanted to be here. I understand all that. But it's like, dude, it's a business. Like, that's the way it works sometimes. We had a chance to get Kyrie Irving. Like, he's a lot better than you. Sorry, bud. But, like, he is. That's just a fact. And you just got to live with that. You know,
the Isaiah Thomas narrative, like, I bought in. Like, because with him as a person and him as a player and his story, like, that was such a great narrative. It was so Boston. It was so like this underdog who's scrappy and he's gonna fight with all he has. Like, it was really a great story. And then like his sister dies and like that was brutal, man. That was really, really bad. It was so tough to watch. And like him pushing through that and like bonding with those guys and deciding, no, I wanna play. I wanna be there for my dudes, like, that was amazing. That was like, I loved it because it transcended basketball, right? It was about like humanity. It was beautiful. And so I feel like he went through that. He saw how we walked with him as Boston fans and as a city. And so I feel like because of that pressure, he thought that something had changed, that maybe there wasn't so much of a business aspect because I let these people into who I am and my family and all this stuff. And then Ainge made an Ainge move, and like, and Kyrie is amazing, you know? And so, I mean, part of me feels bad, but at this point it's kind of sour grapes. Like, I wish he would just shut up and dribble. I'm just kidding.
Right now. Well, you know, and I think it's a great point by you. I mean, yeah, it does seem like sour grapes at this point. I love IT. I think everybody in Boston loved IT. But, like, we have Kyrie Irving. I mean, I don't think there's not one person on the planet, maybe except for Isaiah Thomas, that wouldn't trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. And when we made the trade, there were a lot of people pissed about it, and I wasn't super happy about it, too. I thought we gave up a lot. But then when you see Kyrie play, man, I mean,
it's next level. Like, it's so effortless. Like, when he needs a basket, he's like, I'll take it right here. I got it. This one's mine. And you're just like, this is amazing.
He's a combination. I mean, really, I haven't seen anyone be able to get to the hole like that since Iverson. Iverson could do things that I didn't think I'd ever see anyone do anything like what Iverson did. And what Kyrie does with the basketball and getting to the lane in the trees is similar to what Iverson did when he played. And he was unbelievable. And to be able to have that, and also to be able to shoot the way Kyrie does.
Oh, it's great.
You know, it's next level stuff. So it was 100% the right move. Again, I think there's some sadness there, and it's okay as a Boston fan to have some of that sadness there to say, I wish we still had IT because I liked IT, and everyone could feel that way too. But every day that goes by, you're like, I like IT less and less because he just won't shut up. Like, you're on, you've now been traded for the second time in, you know, 9 months. Just stop. Like, go play basketball. Stop and play because you're ruining your career by talking about the freaking Celtics.
Right.
But anyways. All right. So let's get out of the NFL for just a minute here. For those of you that don't know, the NFL Combine is coming up. It's actually February 27th to March 2nd. And so I had a quick Combine question for you.
Okay.
My question to you is, what do you think, what part of the Combine do you think you'd be best at?
Probably running the stopwatch. That's tough. So I like I joked about at the beginning, I tore my Achilles tendon and had to get it repaired. And so the thought of it doing any quick lateral motions is terrifying to me. This is what I would want to do, not what I would be good at, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do it. Why not?
I'd like to catch some passes. I think it'd be fun. Just do a little slot stuff. I know I just said that I don't want to do that, but like Achilles tendon be damned. I would like to catch some passes and run some routes. I think it would be fun because I played football 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. I was a lineman, like the smallest lineman, and they had me play some center. and I didn't wear a cup. So the
yikes.
The quarterback would molest me on every play.
Oh boy.
And we did a play called Pressure Goose on Pressure where he would just goose me. And that's how we knew how to go. So I got to know Brandon Gagner really well that year.
Yeah.
Oh, also during junior high in football, there was one year where we it was a 6-game season. We went 0-6. And
that's not good.
And at one point we had a punter that kicked backwards.
Uh-oh.
That's real. That's not a joke. None of this has been a joke, actually. So then I switched to soccer for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And I thought it would be really funny to push my chubby belly together and make it look like a bagel because I could do that. And I made the mistake of showing the guys on the first day because I was like, I don't like having my shirt off.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I'll make it a funny thing. And I'm like, hey guys, look, it's a bagel. And then for the next 3 years, they called me bagel. And so we're playing like teams, like really good teams. I was from Missouri. We got mercied several times, which means 10 to nothing.
Yikes.
But like nothing instills fear in the heart of your enemies more than someone yelling, hey, bagel, pass me the ball. So these are my sports credentials, people. This is how you know I deserve to be on this podcast.
Also,
Pat, we were the Warriors and we had the red W as our thing. So
let's go. See, look at that.
Very fitting.
Yeah, it is. Luckily, hopefully we're a little bit better than your Warriors were, but I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if we are, but I'd like to think that we are.
The varsity was good, but I stuck to theater. So
oh, yes.
I was better at that.
That's quite all right. So you gotta know what you're good at, that's all.
Yeah.
So I actually rigged this question because if you notice I didn't say which one of the events would you be best at. I just said what part of the combine would you be best at. And the reason I did that is because my answer would be the interviews, because I would crush the interviews.
Nice.
I am not athletic in the least bit. I played football in college. I think my fastest 40 was like a 5.3. It was not pretty. I played tight end I played D tackle in college, but slow as molasses. Okay. And it's not pretty. But
okay.
Interviews wise, I crush it.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't run worth a lick, but my I have a great personality.
Great personality.
They'd be like, this guy's a real go-getter. We don't want him to play on our team, but give him a clipboard.
Right, exactly. That's it, you know? They'd hire me as a coach or something.
Intangibles. So, it's all about the intangibles.
Exactly. So, all right, so let's get to some segments here. So the first segment is going to be the three-minute drill, which we're actually adjusting to a four-minute drill today because there's two of us instead of just one of us.
Nice.
And Marcus, since you're not familiar, I'm showing you my timer here. I'm literally going to hit start on my timer and we're going to have 4 minutes to talk about a subject that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about Black Panther because you are a movie person and because I saw it and because it is a super topical topic. I don't know if that works or not, but
topical topic indeed.
but that's what we're going to be talking about today. Awesome. And so we're going to have 4 minutes and when the timer goes off, we'll be done. All right.
Okay. All right.
So here we go. All right. So yes. So Black Panther. Awesome. I really liked it a lot. I thought it was great. I think it's one of the best origin stories as far as the MCU is concerned.
Okay.
Iron Man may be better. But as far as the origin stories are concerned, although of course, hashtag Dork was saying that maybe Guardians of the Galaxy was a origin story, which would be better. But either way, I think it may not be top five for me MCU movies, but it's definitely top 10.
Okay.
If it's not top five.
Nice. Well, first of all, I feel like aren't all Panthers black? It's kind of redundant. But regardless,
What about the Panther that was that a lion that mauled, what's his name? The guy.
Yeah. No, I don't know. You're wasting our 4 minutes.
Sorry.
So I am kind of over the MCU. I was in way back with Iron Man and all this stuff. And then eventually they keep bringing out the steak and they're like, would you like to try? This steak is even more delicious than all the other steaks. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'm all set. I'm full of steak. And everyone's like, what? What? But this steak is so much better than the last steak. It's the best origin steak you've ever eaten. And I'm like, I'm sick of this steak. Give me fish. Give me anything else. So I skipped it. I'll probably see it eventually in 9 months when it comes out on DVD for my podcast, because we review movies currently at the Redbox. But yeah, I think it's cool. The soundtrack sounds dope. I don't need a male Catwoman. Like, I don't need that. I didn't care for him in Civil War, so I don't know why I'd watch a whole movie devoted to him.
I suppose. I will say what I liked about it is that if you're an MCU person, or if you're not an MCU person, you can see it. You need zero prior knowledge of the MCU to enjoy this movie. It doesn't, you know, I mean, clearly, right, he's a person in the MCU, and there are some elements of it that are the MCU, but you don't have to actually know anything about the MCU to enjoy the movie. I think that helps this movie. But yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that. It's certainly like they're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again, and it's the same kind of story. It is. I think you'll like this one a little bit more because the storytelling is a little bit more authentic. I think that the problems they deal with a little bit more real world issues and stuff. And so I think that that's really interesting. But, you know,
I already know before I see this movie, I'm going to see it and I'm going to go, I really liked it and I think it was culturally significant. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not tired of MCU movies. I can see it being important and how it is important, especially in our racial and political climate right now. I'm all about it. I'm all about little black boys growing up and being able to have a superhero. Like, I'm not a monster. I think that stuff's super cool.
All right.
Just for me, it's enough with the steak. Okay.
I got you. I hear thee. I mean, I totally understand, you know, it's crazy, right? Now, Chadwick Boseman, how about this dude? There was a Ringer article about how he's played pretty much every superhero, like every black superhero. He played Jackie Robinson. He's played Thurgood Marshall. And he played someone else too, and I can't remember who it was. But yeah, he's played Jackie Robinson and Thurgood Marshall. So he's playing – did he play – I think he played MLK too I don't know what the movie was.
Selma? No.
Yeah, I think that was it. Okay. Yeah. I think that was him that played him, although I might be wrong about that. So you nailed that one. Nice work. It was definitely – that was the – oh. There you go.
Everybody shut up. It's over.
So anyways. So, yes. So we'll – so enjoy Black Panther. And
those, so in
– or six, don't.
Yeah, in 6 months, Wesley and I will review it on the Boxers podcast. And I'm calling it now. I will like it. I will think it's culturally significant. But I'm all set on steak. I'll try anything else.
Now, will you see Infinity War?
I've kind of fallen behind as well. So I didn't see Ant-Man. So at this point, I'm just kind of like, and I didn't see Guardians 2, and I saw Guardians 1 on a small TV and kind of had a meh experience, which makes Wesley so angry. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll see it eventually. Yeah. I really like Hulk, and so I like Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. So give me that. I'm into that. But eventually, where these movies are trending, it's just going to be 75 actors in capes, and everyone has like 3 lines and throws a punch, and then they're done. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Well, it's ironic because you mentioned Hulk. Hulk's got like more movies than anybody else, and it's starring all different people. That's you know, true. It's like I saw a commercial for Game Night, right? And it was like the new movie coming out, Game Night or whatever, and they're playing like Pictionary or some shit, and they're drawing a picture, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, the Incredible Hulk, and they're like, Mark Ruffalo, and he's like, no, they're like, Eric Bana, no, and he's like,
Edward Norton.
About, you know, so it's right. just kind of funny, you know. But it is. It's kind of crazy. They found a while. I think they nailed it. Like Mark Ruffalo, I think is the perfect Hulk because when you see Mark Ruffalo, you don't think like, you know, crazy, intense,
right?
Awesome superhero. He's just a regular guy. You know right. what I mean? And so that's perfect for his role. You know, so,
like what I'm excited for is when they do kind of like a Boyhood thing where they let everyone age like 40 years. Cause I want to see like Avengers retirement home where it's just all of them in like wheelchair. That you have to admit that would be really fun.
That would be pretty awesome. It'd be like the Seinfeld episode where they're chasing him in the little go-kart things.
Nice.
Right?
Right.
So, all right. So, so let's move on to this week in sports history. Pretty entertaining week this week. Maybe not this week, but this week over the course of time. And I'll start as I always do. I will go chronologically. So I'll start with February 25th, 1964. And on that day, Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali, TKO'd Sonny Liston in the seventh round to win his first ever heavyweight title. Boom. What's crazy about this is that Sonny Liston's actually went to the corner at the end of the sixth round and never came out for the seventh round. He, I think they said like his shoulder was paralyzed or something like that, and so he couldn't come out. Either way, he was pissed. Suck it up. I know. So how about this fun fact about Sonny Liston? He learned to fight in Missouri State Prison while serving time for armed robbery.
Okay, I will fun fact your fun fact and tell you that I'm actually from Missouri, and these high school stories are from when I was in high school in Missouri. So
look at that. Crazy. All comes full circle.
I didn't go to Missouri State Prison, though.
No, well, I'm glad you didn't. That's probably good, I would think.
Don't drop the soap.
And then he actually went back to prison later because he assaulted a police officer. So, he had that going for him.
Did he blame it on his trick shoulder?
He may have. I don't know. It's possible. There's a famous photo of Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston where Ali is standing over him, like yelling at him. And that's actually from their second fight. And that was in 1965. The next year, that was controversial because that knockout was in the first round. And it happened like a minute and 45 seconds into the fight. And the punch happened so fast. Sonny went in for a shot and Ali just countered and knocked him out. And people didn't even see it. It was like a phantom punch. They had never even saw it happen. It happened so fast. And then they had the whole like the call thing was weird. I don't know. The count thing was bizarre. Anyways, it was very controversial. But the craziest thing to me is that Muhammad Ali versus Sonny Liston Part 2 was held in Lewiston, Maine. Like, Lewiston, Maine? Like, it's talking about one of the biggest fights of all time, and it was in Lewiston, freaking Maine.
The audience was just made up of a few raccoons and a large moose.
It's like, what the hell, dude? Like, no wonder they didn't see it. It was ridiculous.
I like you talking about this boxing stuff since I'm from the Boxers podcast.
Hey-o, look at that. See, I figured we'd bring a little that wasn't an accident, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Nice.
So, and then the second event from this week in sports history was February 22nd, which is tomorrow, I believe, 1980, which that's today?
Yeah, 22nd today.
So it is. Yes, it is. Okay, so anyway, to probably yesterday, if you're listening tomorrow.
Time stamp city.
So anyways, February 22nd, 1980, which was the Miracle on Ice, was when the U.S. beat the USSR in the semifinals. It wasn't actually the semifinals. It was like the medal round. It was a weird round robin that or whatever. Either way. So Michael Ruzioni, who was a kid from Boston, scored with about 10 minutes left. And how about this? The Soviets never pulled their goalie because they had never even practiced 6-on-5 because their coach didn't believe in 6-on-5. So they just never pulled their goalie to get an extra skater.
Listen to me. These Americans will not beat us. So we don't have to pull anything, much less a goalie, unless we are pulling the wool over their eyes.
That was surprisingly good there. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you for saying surprisingly. That hurt my feelings.
I should have known. You do a lot of accents on your show.
I do a lot of wacky stuff. Okay. Let me ask you: if you had a time machine, which of those events would you rather go see?
Oh shit! Good. Definitely hit Miracle on Ice. I feel like the Miracle on Ice would have been so cool to go to.
I don't know anything about hockey. Did they win? They didn't win that, right?
So that was, interestingly enough, and you cut me off before I could finish. But
sorry.
But no. So, but a lot of people think that that won the gold medal and did not. But they ended up playing Finland for the gold. And they were losing going into the third period. And Herb Brooks, who was portrayed by Kurt Russell in the movie Miracle, came in to second intermission and said, "If you lose this game, you'll take it to your fucking graves." And they ended up, I think they won like 4-2. They scored like 3 goals in the third period. So wow. So the U.S. ended up winning gold, but it wasn't against the USSR. But somebody said, I don't remember who it was, but somebody said, some hockey person or whatever was saying, look, if you want to understand how ridiculous this game was, think about the NCAA All-Star team playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers and them winning. You know, it's just like that. Right. It's just ridiculous.
But it's the Steelers and they always find a way to lose. Mike Tomlin had spit on his beard and he didn't even know it. So how's he supposed to win a football game?
That's very true. But this was well before Mike Tomlin was head coach. Cause it was like right after they had won 4 Super Bowls in a row. So
I will say if I were to cast an actor or a person as a movie coach in a movie, Mike Tomlin is what I like, a movie coach. Like he plays the part.
He like definitely looks the part.
Bill Belichick just looks like he's like a dead fish in a hoodie. But like Mike Tomlin, he's just like snappy looking, except for the spit on the chin. That was bad.
And it's not just that too. Like you think, you know, these coaches should look, they should look like they've played football before. Bill Belichick looks like he's never touched a football before, never mind played football before. Right. So it's like, what could this guy know? You know what I mean? Right. So yeah, I certainly see your point there. So that's it. That's all I got. That's it.
Nice, so, man.
So let's tell people where they can find you first, and then, and then we'll talk about me.
Fantastic. So at Boxers Podcast, Boxers spelled just like the fighters, on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. So if you're like, I want to check out one episode of the Boxers, I want to see if I like it. Episode 74, we did about Blade Runner 2049. If you want to hear a movie that we loved and we're just going to gush about it for a half hour, that's a good episode. And then episode 72, we did about Mother. Mm-hmm. It was a hot garbage. And Wesley and I basically just make fun of the movie for a half an hour. And we had a lot of fun making fun of the movie. So if that's where you want to start, you want to hear us like dismantling a movie, start with episode 72. If you want to hear us gush, start with episode 74 about Blade Runner 2049. You can follow me on Twitter. I think it's Mr. Bestevez. With a B, Estevez, Mr._Bestevez. I'm pretty hilarious, and I'm pretty hilarious when it comes to Celtics shenanigans. I'm not as funny as Rich. Rich is very funny, but who is in this economy?
Rich is a professional. I
mean, yeah, in this economy, how can I be as funny as this?
That's very true. I have to say, having listened to both of the podcasts you were speaking about, I have seen neither of those movies and need to see both of them because after listening to, you know, Blade Runner, after listening to your Blade Runner one, I was like, I have to see this movie. Like, it's going to be awesome and I can't wait to see it. And after listening to your Mother one, I was like, I need to see this movie just because it was so utterly just, I don't know. I can't even explain it to you. Like, you just have to listen to the podcast because it was so amazing listening to you two just like, laugh and like just absolutely shit all over it that I was like, this is too good for me not to see it, because it's one of those like movies that you like need to see it because it was that bad.
Right. And we are a safe for work podcast. So I do bleep out some swear words. So if you want to listen with your kids in the car, like, and so content wise, it's relatively clean. We're a little bit PG with some of our references, but that's okay. But yeah, we have a lot of fun over there and we'd love to have you guys come check out our podcast. We, if you like at all what I've been flowing on here, I know movies a lot better than I know basketball. So.
It's good. It's good stuff. And like I said, I mean, now I'm done with the Triforce. So I have not done with the Triforce, but I have had everyone from the Triforce on my show. So, pretty excited about that.
Another notch on your bedpost.
Notch in the belt, baby. You know, that's the way it goes. So another one bites the dust, as they say. For me, I am on Twitter and Instagram at Weekend War Pod. No E's in weekend, so it ends up being WKNDWARPOD, and I hate spelling that out, but I have to do it for the people who just can't spell. I mean, I feel like I can't discriminate against those people. So sure. I'm also on Facebook, Weekend Warrior Podcast on Facebook. And again, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Stitcher, I'm on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go on to blogtalkradio.com, search Weekend Warrior Podcast, and I'm there as well. So please do that. Also, from MDOT and Core, so that's at MDOT Boston on Instagram and Twitter, and that's at Core with a K, so K-O-R-E of E-M-S as well on Twitter. So we appreciate them. Thank you, Marcus, for coming on. Really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Dude, thanks for having me. It's been really good. What you guys don't know is that Pat and I talked for like 45 minutes before we actually started. So it's been a blast, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll have you on another time. You never know. So.
Oh, so we get to do the belly bump without the shirt?
Oh, you never know. It's going to happen. Could happen.
I like it. The voice went high. I like it.
Oh, it did. Yes, it did. So, all right, man. So I will, we'll talk to you. And thanks again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great night, guys.
Listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors, you'll need to tune in. This is show.